When you're prioritizing the six most items for the next day, it gives you the ability to act when motivation isn't present. It gives you the ability to refocus when you get distracted. And those six most are focused on your one-year goals, which lead to your three-year goals, to your five-year, to your 15, to your 20. Go 20 and work backwards. Right? How old you're going to be. How old your kids are going to be. And knowing that singular activity is the key to you hitting your MTP, your massive transformative purpose. Your main thing. What's the one thing that you do? What's the thing that you can focus on? What are you good at? What are you best at?
It's time for On Your Mark, Get Set, Grow. On Your Mark, Get Set, Grow is brought to you by CEO Coaching International, where our team of CEO coaches work with the world's top CEOs, entrepreneurs, and companies to help them dramatically grow their business. To learn more, visit us at CEOCoachingInternational.com. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of On Your Mark, Get Set, Grow. I'm your host, Steve Sandusky, and what you're about to hear is a special presentation from Ron Carson that was recorded live from the stage at the 6th Annual CEO Coaching International Summit held in Santa Monica, California. Ron is the founder and CEO of Carson Group, which serves financial advisors and investors through its businesses, including Carson Wealth, Carson Coaching, and Carson Partners. Ron has grown his business to over $10 billion in assets under advisement, and he's a mainstay on the Barron's list of the top financial advisors in the country. He's also probably the only person you've ever listened to who's climbed out of a coffin, and I can attest to that because I saw him do it a few years ago as part of an exercise that challenged business leaders to start at the end so that they could work backwards to build the business and the life that they want. In his presentation, Ron discusses what he learned from that experience, as well as the importance of finding your why to make sure you're not just going through the motions day in and day out. Ron also encourages us to find our MTP, our massive transformative purpose, so that we're focusing our time on the things we do best. But above all, what you're going to learn from Ron is the value of living and working with real passion. Ron is also a client of CEO Coaching International. And with that, please enjoy this outstanding presentation from Ron Carson.
I'm going to introduce Ron Carson, being that I've known him the longest, well, other than Steve, of course. Ron is a great friend. He's the guy I was talking about this morning with the concept of zero. This guy's willing to take risk. He's willing to fail. He doesn't defend what he doesn't know. He's an amazing guy. He's got a great story. He's going to talk to us about how he started the business in his dorm room and has taken it to $10 billion. This guy lives life full, lives his business full, and runs a world-class organization that's been on the top of Barron's over and over again. Ladies and gentlemen, Ron Carson.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, what a ride it's been with Mark. I gotta tell you a quick story about Mark. I actually hired a consultant or a coach to find a coach. So I said, you know what? I feel like I'm languishing. I'm living my life incrementally, and I want to live my life exponentially. And I teach people. I have a coaching organization, but I want someone that really breaks me out of my comfort zone, breaks me out of the prison of conventional thinking and wisdom. Someone who will make me think of my company as a day one company every single day. So he went out, evaluated everybody available, ended up with 10 names. He interviewed them all. I ended up with 3. And I got to admit something, Mark. Early on, I wasn't used to being held accountable. I dreaded my meetings with Mark because you know what he says, what are you going to do to guarantee that you have success? So as we were going through this process with Mark, continues to challenge me, and one day I was pushing back on Mark, and he says, you know what, you're running a lemonade stand. Anybody ever had their business called a lemonade stand? I actually had a lemonade stand as a kid. And he was so right. It's like, what do I need to do? And I want to share that with you today. It's around the sustainable edge. Mark's helped me take my business 15-fold. We had about $3 billion in total assets, $800 in advisory AUM at the time. We 15-folded that in a six-year period of time. And so when I told Mark, I want to build a business of $50 billion, and then I did the math on that, Mark, and just simple arithmetic would be $192 billion. And then I shared that with my team, and my team, Mark's partially responsible for this, it's like, that's not nearly big enough. So we took the number out, and our MTP, our massive transformative purpose, is to be the most trusted for financial advice. I have to admit something. Before I got up here, before I saw Sandra speak this morning, I had probably wasn't as prepared to be as authentic and vulnerable as I could be. Yesterday was the fourth anniversary of my mom passing away. My mom was my biggest cheerleader. My mom, from the time I can remember, she would drive me around, help me be in these little businesses, and she had me convinced, Ronnie, you can absolutely, positively do anything that you want. And I believed her. And as I went through business and went through life, I had a lot of failure, a lot of failure. And she taught me, you know, don't view failure as failure, but a more intelligent way to start over. So I hear Sandra talk about being authentic, and then this morning, as I woke up, I had a call on my cell phone, and it was a CNBC reporter. And she said, so Ron, are you putting anybody in coffins these days? And I'm like, wow, I forgot all about that. A few years ago, we had a process called blueprinting. Help you live your life by design, not by default. And so Steve and I, and Steve Sandusky, a business partner of mine for 11 years, Steve will attest to this. We're sitting there, we have this thing called the True Wealth Institute, helping people get more of all the things that we have, true wealth, all the things that we have that money can't buy and death can't take away. And we're getting ready to do our very first one, and I'm always thinking of interesting and creative ideas, a lot of them not very good. I've learned to treat them as wine. You know, they get better with time, and if they get worse with time, they're not a great idea. But this is back before I really did a lot of that. I said, you know what, I've got a client who has a mortuary, and what I think we ought to do is have him bring a coffin to the office. And part of the blueprinting process is to write your eulogy. And I was telling Steve, what we'll do is we're gonna have these people come, they're gonna write their eulogy, we're gonna have them get in the coffin. True story here, by the way. We're gonna have them get in the coffin, shut their eyes, fold their arms, and we're gonna read their, we're gonna record this, we're gonna have music. And I wanted to help people, like, how could we go to the end and work backwards? Can you imagine the power? Just imagine the power. If you were sitting up here, whatever here is to you, and you're looking down on Earth as a game board, and you have eternity to do anything you want, and you're not stuck in the whirlwind of everyday stuff. Steve goes, that's got to be the worst idea I've ever heard. So being me, I said, okay, well, let's do it anyway. And we had, what, 16 people of 60 actually go through it. Here's a couple things I didn't really anticipate. I went first. I set the example. I went in, did the thing. They read my eulogy. It was so emotional. By the way, I still recommend it. If you really want to have a powerful experience, go to the end and work backwards. Sent a picture to my sister. She didn't think it was very funny. But as I was getting out of the coffin, I realized how many people in the room know somebody that's actually gotten out of a coffin? Me. And I'll sign an autograph if you want. I got out of the coffin. So I'm going through life, had this incredible experience, done my blueprinting many times, reviewed it many times, had incredible level of what most would view success. I had all the material things I wanted. I had my health, I had my family. But I had something that I could only describe as Chinese feeling, Chinese meaning Chinese food feeling? Is it you eat a lot of Chinese food and you're full but you're not satisfied? You have a hole in your soul? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are feeling it right now. I was feeling a little bit of a fraud. I was going through telling people to live your life to the fullest. Live your life by design, not by default. Don't be on this unconscious journey to arrive at death safely. Take life by the horns and make the most out of it. And I would say it and I repeat it and I go through my blueprinting process. I would set my goals. I'd laminate them, put them in the shower, have them with me every day, top of mind, connect the subconscious mind. There was still something missing. But I couldn't identify and I couldn't fix whatever it was. So the part I wasn't going to share with you, that, and after my mom died, I went into this depression, a funk. It was a hard time. Matter of fact, yesterday was the first day in all those years, a first anniversary, that it really didn't get me down. And I embarked on a spiritual journey that I can only describe as totally reawakening or being awake. And having the ability, and I talked about this idea of your eulogy going to the end and working backwards. And some of you are going to think I'm crazy when I share this with you. I actually got to experience that. I literally, physically got to go to the end, look down, see it. Cyrus and I were talking about this yesterday. He had been on a similar journey. It's the most powerful, most incredible thing I've ever experienced in my life. And I feel like I'm technically 54 years old, but I feel like I'm 4 or 5 months old. And I've always been a high energy, high exciting life. But now I realize there's so much more. My MTP in my business is gonna allow me to do something extraordinarily more impactful for society. Whether it's helping feed the billion people that go hungry every night. You know, 9 million people died of starvation last year. We had a lot bigger issues. So now, my reason, Mark, for having a company that transforms the way we do financial services and doing good, I want to be utilitarian, doing the most amount of good for the largest number of people possible, and so I can do some of these other things. I'm going to go through and share with you my formula to get me up to this point. I can't tell you what the future looks like, but I know it's way different than it was just 6 months ago. So let me tell you my story. Those are all the same person, by the way. Believe it or not, that is me. Those pictures, sophomore in high school. Then I was 18 years old on a fishing trip. There I am. I had a little bit of a, tooth impairment, it looks like. And then there I am today. And I was in the military as well. And as I look back on my life, there were several people that had such an impact. I was a tanker in an M60A1 tank, went to Fort Knox, Kentucky. And I'll never forget going to Fort Knox, Kentucky, and we practiced. I was terrified of even being there. We practiced in a hot, must have been 100 degrees in this barracks to meet the sergeant major that was going to welcome us to boot camp and reception station. All a bunch of kids, 17 years old. Had to get my parents' permission to actually go in. That talk he gave up and basically said, you're going to hate it here. You're not going to enjoy it. And we're going to put a lot of pressure on you. It's not because we don't like you, but we got to see how you react under pressure since we literally can't shoot at you. But here's what I'm going to tell you. If you approach it as a learning experience and you go back out into the real world and you give just 10% more than the average person, you'll have absolutely anything you want. Anything. It was truly one of the first major motivational talks that I had. So I went home fully expecting to be a farmer. My parents went broke farming. Remember the farm crisis? Anybody remember the interest rates in 1982? 21.5%. Carson Farms, his father's father, actually started in 1918. And here we are, our farm's gone. Our bank went away, saw my dad cry for the first time. My dad was a guy who had no emotion. I thought he was rock solid as it related to emotions. And seeing that scared the absolute daylight out of me. So I went to University of Nebraska and was reading Money Magazine, knowing I needed a new career. And it talked about one of the top things in financial services to become a CFP. So I thought, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. By the way, I was at an event at the Reserve telling this lady, she was asking me what I did, financial services, how did you get into that during the Napa Valley wine auction? And I was like, you know, I was reading this article in Money Magazine. And she goes, oh my gosh, are you serious? I placed that article. What are the odds of actually meeting the person that placed it? I said, well, then you're responsible for my career. So I started from ground zero. The only thing I really had going for me was I was scared to death. Saw my dad cry for the first time, living in a trailer in a small town. Everybody knew it. I was totally humiliating and embarrassed me. I didn't know it then, but it gave me the testimonial fortitude to not be afraid of anything, to try anything. A couple years into my success, my dad said to me, he goes, Ronnie, you've got persidity, and I'm so proud of you. My dad never said he was proud of me. I'm proud of you. I go, really? Persidity? Well, thanks. What is it? He said, it's someone that has relentless persistence with a naive stupidity. I go, okay. He goes, but no, don't get me wrong. It's great. I've never seen somebody that will absolutely positively try anything because you don't know what should or shouldn't work. So you absolutely will do anything. And so I think about that today. Not viewed failure as failure, but a more intelligent way to start over, right? Failure, a true learning experience. So going down, having absolutely nothing to lose, I started my business. One of the keys I learned is building a brain trust. Now, some of you may or may not know, that's Warren Buffett from Omaha. Mark Moses is in my brain trust. There's a gentleman in Omaha, self-made billionaire named Howard Hawks, who mentored me. But I realized that I needed to get a lot of help and I needed to get information. So if you don't have, and many of you are YPOers in the room, I've been at YPO since 1994, and it is the most incredible, for those of you that aren't, it's the most incredible brain trust you're ever gonna plug yourself into, just like this is, Mark, this is fantastic. There's also a book I would recommend, two of them actually, Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty, and it's on how do you really truly network. And the other book is Exponential Organizations. If you haven't had a chance to go to Singularity University, you will meet like this, but you'll have 60 CEOs from all over the world, maybe 10 of them from the US. Network, brain trust, what's going on? What are best practices? One of the true keys to me being successful was I had others that were in front of me give me confidence about the direction I was willing to take. And the other thing I stumbled onto was living my life through my passions. When I looked at the things that I loved to do versus the things I had to do, I got to a point where I absolutely hated my business. I'll never forget where I was. I was sitting on a corner, getting ready to turn. It was a hot August day. A guy's jackhammering cement out of the center of the median. And I'm thinking, man, that guy has got it made. He's got a job. Because I was 100% sales, had been a rough week. He's fit, I'd put on a fair amount of weight. He's getting paid right now, and he gets to go home, and he gets to drink a cold six-pack of beer and just relax. I envied that guy for a moment, albeit it was a brief moment, soon got past that. And I stumbled into this thing to say, you know what, why not? Why don't I surround myself with people that love to do the things I hate to do, and I'm just gonna live my life the things I love to do. I was recently doing a 100-mile mountain bike ride through Moab, and I'm with 15 guys I'd never met before. And we got to talking about what we did and travel schedules, and some of you, I spent 301 days on the road last year, and people are going, oh my God, that sounds awful. I go, it was great, because my favorite place is wherever I am. Think about that. I used to think about somewhere else I wanted to be, never where I was. And so the one gentleman, I was on 9 or 10 cities before I was going to be back in Omaha, and he goes, is that work or is that play? I said, I don't know. You decide. I don't distinguish between the two. I'm a pilot. I love aviation. I love working out. I'm summiting all the, there's 69 14,000 foot peaks in the US. I've done 55 of 69. I love to hunt. I've combined all of these with my business, meaning that I have prospects, I have clients, I network. So at age 36 on, I really truly got out of bed every day getting to do only the things that I love to do and found others that love the stuff I hated to do. And the way I got there, by the way, and you guys are already insanely successful, but I think to look at your day and say, is there anything in it that I don't love doing? And if there's anything that you don't love doing, delegate it. And I'm still, the one thing I hate doing every day that I still have to do is working out. I do not like going to the gym. To me, it's such a waste of time. My theory, though, on working out, there are those that hate it, and there are liars, right? Not to be confused, because I get this challenge all the time, like, Ron, you're wrong. I just love it. I said, oh, really? Hold on just a minute. If I could give you a pill that leaned you out, guaranteed you were going to live way longer than you could otherwise, equal to going to the gym every day, you're telling me you would choose to spend your time doing that versus other things you love. Like, well, if you put it like that, maybe I don't love it as much as I thought. By the way, we're not that far away from having that come down the pike. By the way, Singularity University says we're 12 years or less away from us living forever, not dying of natural causes. So I'm going to go through and talk about, I wrote a book called Sustainable Edge. If anybody's interested in the Sustainable Edge, more than happy to send you a copy digitally or give you a hard copy if you would like. But I want to hit on some of the key things that we talked about in the book. And by the way, I've got two partners here, Paul West, Michael David. By the way, thank you for all that you do for me and do for Carson. Find your why. If your why doesn't make you cry, you need a new why. How often do you just end up going through the motions? Look how fast time actually travels. In this writing the eulogy and going to the end and working backwards, maybe doing a spiritual journey for yourself to say, you know, I'm here for such an itty-bitty amount of time. Why would I waste a moment not doing the things that I love to do? But what is something so much bigger than myself, make big happen, that I can have the greatest impact on the impact I want to have? And by the way, one of the things in the blueprinting process, which is so hard to do, is to be truly honest with yourself. There's an exercise we have you go through to list the things that are most important to you. And immediately, people write family or spiritual or health. And they don't really believe that in their heart. But they feel pressure. So you're the only person that ever has to see the blueprinting process. But be true to yourself. Unmask, as Sandra talked about this morning. Unmask yourself and say, what really drives me? Because if you fight what's in your soul and in the center, you're never going to live up to your full potential. Keep it simple. Focus on what's important versus what's interesting. Every night before I go to bed, I list the six most important things I've got to get done in order of priority. Those that know me, yeah, I got an electronic calendar, but there's something magical and powerful about putting pen to paper. And what if the next day you get up and overnight your subconscious mind will work on the solution? Do you realize how much you've got stored in your subconscious mind? When I did my journey, I actually got to relive my birth. It's in there, right? If that's in there, think what else is in there. And when you're prioritizing the six most items for the next day, it gives you the ability to act when motivation isn't present. It gives you the ability to refocus when you get distracted. And those six most are focused on your one-year goals, which lead to your three-year goals, to your five-year, to your 15, to your 20. Go 20 and work backwards, right? How old you're going to be, how old your kids are going to be. And knowing that singular activity is the key to you hitting your MTP, your massive transformative purpose. Your main thing. What's the one thing that you do? What's the thing that you can focus on? What are you good at? What are you best at? I'm not good at very many things. I'm just not. How many of you work on your weaknesses? Anybody here say, I'm going to work on my weaknesses? You know what you're going to have someday? A lot of strong weaknesses. Who wants strong weaknesses? Nobody wants strong weaknesses. So let's go with the momentum. Figure out the one thing that we focus on that we're really, really super good at. I talked about the brain trust, connecting bright minds, networking, advisory councils. I'm amazed. I coach 5,000 plus financial advisors. Every year I recommend do an advisory council of your best clients. Do an advisory council of the ideal client of prospects. Do advisory councils with your outside partners and give them permission to talk about things that you're not doing, you should be doing, and the prospects. What would my value proposition have to look like for you to refer people just like yourself and to do business with me? And I'm amazed how many people don't take the time to do it. Just a show of hands, how many of you actually have, not your board, but have outside advisory council that's looking at your blind side? Just a few hands go up. It's one of the things that will make one of the biggest differences in your career, in your business, and in your life, because you don't have to guess anymore. Measurements. Measure everything. Leading, lagging. I'm a pilot. I'm looking at my dashboard all the time. I'm glancing. What's red? What's green? By the way, any red, if you ever see red on a cockpit, there's a problem, big problem. But it gives you and lets you know, is there anything you should be worried about? I mean, red's a big problem. Yellow is a caution. And what are those things that we should be doing and measure things that are gonna track? What gets measured gets done. If you're measuring it doesn't matter, don't waste your time. If it matters, you're not measuring it, why not? Keep it simple. Keep it simple. At Carson, we make the complex simple. Because if it's not simple, who is Amazon Prime user in here? Is it the most incredible thing ever? Right? It's simple. Easy to use. And you don't care what's going on behind the scenes or what's powering it. You just want a great experience. Be vulnerable. Don't jump to conclusions. Sheldon actually did a talk for my company a few years ago on communication. And his big thing is be a truth giver and a truth receiver. And I realized for so much of my career, I was like, tell me the truth. As long as it's the truth, I want to hear. I had someone the other day say, Ron, do you surround yourself with people that can really challenge you? And Steve can appreciate this. He was telling me earlier, he goes, hey, I knew version 1.0. I think it's 2.0, and it's actually like 41.0. Because I've changed and I continue to change. Every day I get up and I say, how can I be totally transparent? How can I be genuine? And how can I not pretend I have to know it all? I want to be a librarian, not a library. I used to put so much pressure to have to keep all this information in. It's like today, with networks, unleash the shackles of having to know and surround yourself and be vulnerable, and you know you don't have to know the answer. As a matter of fact, my goal is to be the dumbest person in the room, and I've accomplished that. I truly am. I surrounded myself with the best people I could find and get the hell out of their way. And then finally, value beyond a doubt. We live in a society today where, and especially financial services, a lot of people charge fees. And the consumer's getting almost nothing or actually destroying value for a lot of consumers today. It is so true. The next generation, they demand, hey, we'll pay. And no one wants to pay a fee. None of you ever hired a financial advisor so you can make 1% less a year. You're thinking of that as an incremental investment in your future. And if you're not seeing the return on that, don't do business. And it's the same with all the clients, customers you do business with. Showing value beyond a doubt is never going to be more important. Information, clean data is the new world currency. Leveraging artificial intelligence, if you're not out ahead of this with data warehousing, measuring consumer behaviors continuously, your clients continuously. It's one thing to get averages. It's the other thing to actually know what your clients are doing when they do it on an individual basis so you can help create value, alpha, for them. You haven't failed until you quit trying. One of the things I love. And I'm going to leave you with a bit of knowledge that could save you or make you millions of dollars a year. And that is understanding the difference between a fiduciary and a broker. Anybody in the room know the difference? This is going to blow your mind when I tell you. by law, and there's a rage going on with the SEC and FINRA, politicians today. By law, a broker does not have to put your interest ahead of their own. Their only standard is suitability, and if they disclose it in a prospectus, they're allowed to do it to you. Anybody ever read a prospectus before? Anybody ever understand what the hell's in a prospectus? Where a RIA is required to put your interest first all the time. So before you ever hire anybody in financial services, figure out, are they truly a fiduciary or are they a broker? And by the way, just Google all the fines going on today, Wells Fargo and Merrill Lynch, billions of dollars in fines. And I scratch my head and I go, how can they pay these fines and stay in business? And it occurred to me, it was a Ford Pinto that gave me the answer. Do you remember the Ford Pinto? You remember what happened with the Ford Pinto? Blew up. Ford made a decision. It was cheaper, in a class action lawsuit, it was cheaper to pay the families than to fix the problem. Wow, is that sick or what? And today, the regulators are not fining companies enough because they're making so much more by doing what's legally right. And consumers and backdoor payments and all the bullshit that went on during the financial crisis. You heard what Bush said about bailing out the banks, or maybe that was in our roundtable discussion. We had to give it to the absolute people that put us in this position, and they're still doing it today. For the bankers in the room, I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. And that's got to change. And finally, I'll end with, this is one of my favorite sayings. I found this on the internet. Someone told me not to bite off more than I could chew. I'd rather choke on greatness and nibble on mediocrity. And that is so true. Think about the opportunity. I think we are living in the most exciting period ever. Not once in a lifetime, but a once in a mankind opportunity. You've all won. Anybody here won a Powerball before? Anybody? Just two hands? Kidding. Everybody turns around. You've won 5, 4, 3 Powerballs. Let me just show you, explain to you how that possibly could be. First of all, you're a mammal. You know what the odds are being a mammal were? They're big. I don't know exactly what they were, but I just know they're big. Then, a human. For most of you in the United States of America, at a point where every single business is in play, every single client is disruptible. Ray Kurzweil said, if you think change has been fast up to this point, it's not. It's been a trickle and the avalanche is near. And he also said, if you're not moving as fast as the outside world, you're going away. Do you want to be disrupted or the disruptor? You get to make the choice, make the most of it.
On Your Mark, Get Set, Grow is brought to you by CEO Coaching International, where our team of CEO coaches work with the world's top CEOs, entrepreneurs, and companies to help them dramatically grow their business. To learn more, visit us at CEOCoachingInternational.com.